Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have dialogue with a community of listeners. My name is Carlos Diaz, and I am a sophomore at Laytonville High School. Ralph Cantor returned to Laytonville this May to talk about the adolescent brain and how it is affected by marijuana and alcohol. He began by holding a public forum at Laytonville's Harwood Hall. Funding for this event was made possible by Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities grant number 5H79SP01856605 from the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The views expressed in written materials or publications and by speakers and moderators do not necessarily reflect the official policies of the Office of Drug Control Policy or the Department of Health and Human Services, nor does the mention of trade names, commercial practices, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. I listened to Ralph's presentation in my freshman year. It led me to do much personal research on the adolescent brain and the way that cannabis products affected the development of personality. It also made me wonder about how we educate youth on the topic of substance abuse. I was a panel member at a public discussion in Willits this past April called Making the Healthier Choice the Easier Choice. It was part of a series called Avenue to Wellness and was moderated by Tina Tyler O'Shea. There were 8 youth on the panel, and we enjoyed sharing our perspectives with the audience. You can find out more about this speaker series at www.avenuetowellness.org. Before the public forum in Laytonville last month, I interviewed Ralph to find out what he would discuss this year. I also had some questions and wanted to share my views with him about the topic. So this interview will begin with Ralph and I talking about my experience being on the panel discussion in Willits.
What did you do with the drug forum?
What we did was, it was like 4 of us from Laytonville, and we all went up on in front of a group of people, of city like leaders and just the citizens.
Yeah, yeah.
Who were there, and they would ask us questions about drug prevention or marijuana prevention, and like it was just like a chance for them to see what kids thought about all of it.
Exactly. Yeah. How great! And what came of that?
At first it was really like, it wasn't going well at first because everyone was kind of like shy, like all the kids were. But once we started having a conversation, everybody really got into it. And it went from, like, she had a whole plan of what we were going to do, and she just decided to throw that out and everybody just ask us questions and us answer. And it turned out, everybody was really, like, everyone had a lot of opinions on it. And everyone was good at answering all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had something to say, everybody did.
Mm-hmm. So was there any upshot? What's your opinion on it? Were you part of the panel?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. My opinion on like introducing it to kids and stuff is kind of not to think of it at all like, oh, this is a terrible thing. Like, stay away from it. It's more of, like, teach it as you teach alcohol or cigarettes, like, as a responsibility, like, something, like, there's too much of anything is not good for you. Like, you just have to teach it like that and teach it where, like, give them more information rather than saying no, which is one of the questions I actually had for you. Like, I was gonna ask if, like, you thought campaigns like the Just Say No campaign, mm-hmm. like, if that actually helps or if it actually hurts.
That's a good question. I think it probably helps for younger kids. Kid that's 11, 12, 10, 13, something like that, to just know, don't do it, and give them that clear message. I think it's probably helpful there. And, you know, part of what they say around drug stuff is that the earlier you start using, the worse it is. So that if that little piece of saying, just don't do it, you know, just say no, if that helps, up to, say, 13 at that point, well, then maybe, you know, I think it does some good.
Yeah.
After that point, that just say no stuff, I think may do have the opposite effect and be worse. You know, who the hell wants to be told no, you know? So I love that idea that that they changed it to just say no, K-N-O-W. You know what I mean? That way. but no, for the most part, I don't think it contributes to really helping prevention at all. I think you're right. I think the more people know and understand, that's what does it. I think that, like with cigarettes, the more people began to really understand it and see what the issues were, and then, you know, you can't smoke here, you can't do that, making it difficult as well, I think made a big difference, you know. And I think we might want to take that same approach with marijuana, you know, or like you said, even with alcohol. You know, that people have an understanding of alcohol and what are the concerns and what are the issues there. So to have that happen with weed, yeah. And actually, that is the work that I do. When I'm, like tomorrow when I go to Laytonville High, what I'll be doing mostly is just teaching and showing the science, you know, of it. Because part of what I'm kind of blown away by is really just how little people know. I mean, for instance, and I'll shut up, but for instance, I could say to kids, does marijuana kill brain cells? You want to know?
I don't. Like, I remember you coming in and, like, because what I learned is mostly what I learned from you. And after I heard that, uh-huh, I started trying to learn more.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's the reason why I said, like, in everything that everybody says, like, in that panel thing I did.
Yes.
Like, when they asked me, like, I always said, like, my favorite speaker that's come in was Ralph Cantor, because everyone liked him because we weren't being told, like, no, this is a terrible thing. And, like, we liked that it was a, like, biased opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was like, a lot cooler because I like to know more things. Like, all of us, like, with the first question I asked you, Like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, past a certain point, like, you have your own opinion, and you don't want somebody just telling you no.
Right.
And, yeah, right. I thought it was really cool to get knowledge rather than...
And that's why I think it's not effective. But you know something that's changed for me this year? Because I just want people to know and understand. I don't really have a bias or a message in that way. Now it's a year later. I have a bit of a message. I have a bit of a bias. The more I'm learning about it, the more I really don't want to see teenagers smoke. I mean, I was more open, you know what I mean? But the more I'm learning and the more research that's out there, the more strongly I want to be able to tell teenagers, wait. And not wait that long. You know, we're not talking about a huge amount of time here. But just, you know, getting close to that 18 years old, at that point, it's a different ball game. But I just feel a little bit differently this year, Carlson, than last. I feel more strongly, you know, that it's a problem for teens. I'm glad to hear that you said that a lot of what you learned, you learned from me. And yeah, and part of it is that I really believe in, I don't know whether it's a scientific approach, but an approach that really, you know, isn't good or bad or off of all that. Just, you know, to get a deeper understanding of what's going on.
With what you said before, what's your biggest concern about youth using marijuana?
Good question. My biggest concern about teenagers using marijuana is two things that are connected together. Number one is that this teenage time from about 12 to 18 is a very, very unique time in our lives as human beings. There's something that's happening there that doesn't happen later on. In other words, it's a really crucial time. It's sort of like, you know, a baby and a fetus, when they're in there, it's a really tender time. Well, this is a really tender time in terms of, I guess you could call it the pleasure center of your brain or the reward center of your brain, the place in your brain that fires off dopamine. Okay. And this place in your brain that fires off dopamine is basically telling you what you like and what you don't like. It's almost as if for some people, chocolate might fire off more dopamine than vanilla. You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of like telling you who you are, what you like or what you don't like. And that's a really important thing during teenage time to then let you know, well, what do I want to do? I want to do things that interest me, that fire off dopamine for me. You with me?
Yeah.
The thing about my biggest concern around weed is that weed can fire off that dopamine. It can trick the brain into firing off that dopamine. And that trick, which I think what people pay the money for, what people really like, and I'm not knocking the trick, but that trick from 12 to 18 is tricking you out of work that needs to be done. In other words, I don't have to lift this weight. All I have to do is use this trick and lift the weight, and it works. The problem is that you don't build that muscle. And so you don't build interest muscles, pleasure muscles, work muscles. I don't have to figure out what to do when I get bored. All I got to do is fire up. I don't need to figure out what I do when I get together with friends. Just roll ourselves a fat one. I don't need to figure out what to do when I'm a little bit down. All I need to do is fire up. I don't need to figure out how to chill. All I got to do is fire. In other words, this weed thing is filling in and taking care of issues that teenagers particularly really have to do. And so my biggest concern is that they come out at 19 or 20 and they're a one-trick pony. This is my pleasures. This is my interests. This is my world. This is my friends. This is my medicine. This is my blah, 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 at this point now, I'm really sorry that that's there for teenagers. You need to be confronted with your pleasures and your interests and all that stuff. That's my biggest concern about weed. And so you get to be 19 or 20 and you're not in touch with who you are. It's the drug that's there. And at that point, it becomes very difficult to go backwards.
Yeah.
In other words, it gets the biology changes. If you do that work and you start smoking at, say, 18, well, at this point, a lot of that stuff is hardwired in. I think it's way better than alcohol and all these other drugs. Absolutely. And I think it's medicinal. And it's just that during this teenage time, it short circuits that reward center, which really directs our lives. That's my biggest issue. The second issues, I think it is destabilizing for some people who have some psychologically, they're not totally all down. Weed is a hallucinogenic, and it can really, unscrew you a little bit there. So for some people that have a tendency to have some psychological problems or psychosis, the weed can really make it worse.
Yeah.
I think those are my issues. Oh, and one other one. Edibles. I got a whole thing around edibles too, because I think you can trip with it where you're not going to trip smoking it. But the other thing, Carlos, is that I just think that things are changing so quickly right now. People have access to 40 to 50% THC. They can vape this. They can, that the potency of the drug has really upped the ante on this as well.
Yeah, so there's so nobody's sure exactly how, like what can happen when it gets too high.
That's right. And all we know is that your generation now is a grand experiment. You're kind of like the rats here, you know. And I'm not saying you, but I'm saying a lot of the kids that particularly see, for some people, the drug works better than others. Yeah. So you'll hear a number of people say, I don't like marijuana, or I like marijuana. But you'll hear some people say, I don't like it, I love it. Okay, for those people where it has that kind of effect, this is where I think it has the biggest impact.
Yeah, that's why I've had a lot of, like, a lot of my thoughts were, like, to teach, like, is as a responsibility.
I guess what I want to say, and I think what you're saying, is that it's not simple.
Yeah.
It's not simple. This is not just nothing that's there. It's a hell of a drug that really gets into your brain and does quite a lot of stuff here. This is, you know, part of what I hear you saying is that we want to go into this in a way where we understand more about it.
Yeah. Do you know if there's any, or have you come across any evidence that it, like, physically damages an adolescent's brain?
There seems to be some stuff, but it isn't, you know, when you say physically, it's hard to, you know, there is some stuff that say that it changes the size of the hippocampus, you know, which has to do with memory. But for the most part, no, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to really measure. I know that you can look at a brain and sometimes see like these really dark spots in the brain, and you can think like somebody somehow or other, it burnt the hole in the brain or whatever. It isn't that. The dark spots are though where there isn't more activity. So there's less activity in certain areas than other areas. And for people that focus around marijuana, that those areas really light up, and a lot of the other ones don't get worked.
Yeah.
People don't really know what does it look like from a sophomore in high school's point of view. I think that's one of the reasons why they did that forum and stuff, is that people don't really know what's in a kid's world here.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, do you see kids doing honey oil? Do you see kids doing wax and dabs? And, you know, just how prevalent is this whole marijuana thing at Laytonville High School from your point of view?
Well, in my experience, like, just being, because I've been to parties and stuff like that, and watching all the kids that are around me, and a lot of it, actually, like, surprisingly, like, in the community we're at, is a lot of it's alcohol rather than marijuana. But the people who are doing it, they're usually doing, like, yeah, like, wax or dabs and stuff like that. And, like, that's the big thing, because it gets you higher, or, like, it's supposed, like, a lot of people think that it's healthier for you, and some people just, like, they've just, like, a lot of kids, like, I've seen, like, I've heard people say, like, oh, it's healthier for you, and I know that's not right, but it's just, it's pretty crazy to me to, like, know all these kids are just pretty much just hearing other kids say that, and so they're thinking the same thing. And that's why, like, I think things like this are really important, so that we can, like, show kids that, like, it's good to start at a young age, like you said, because then they don't have the
education
already. Yeah. And so you can show them, like, what it actually is, and, like, how it actually affects you, and that it doesn't, it's no difference. It's even stronger. Like, it's just, like, so yeah, there's a lot of, like, I've seen a lot of dabbing and stuff like that.
So isn't that amazing? So what you're saying is a lot of the use today isn't just people rolling a joint or rolling a blunt, but rather really stepping it up and vaping, using 40% to 50% THC weed, just not... The kids are going more for that than the regular weed.
Yeah, what it seems is that, like, a lot of the kids that do it, like, what it is that, like, there's only a few kids that actually smoke at all. And so, but those kids are the ones, like, when they do it, they're not doing just herb or anything. They have, like, wax and stuff that's extremely high THC stuff. Like, so the kids like who are doing it seem to be the kids who like have, they want more high. Like they are like the kids who are just searching for more high.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. And so where does the alcohol fit into all this? What do you see there?
The alcohol, it seems like, I don't know, with, like I've seen people who are just drinking a bunch of alcohol and will only take like one like tiny hit, will only take a little hit and be like, okay, that's all I can do. And so they'll leave. And then I've seen kids who smoke a bunch and won't drink at all because they can't handle it. So I don't know. I've seen a lot, like a lot of people mix it. Like it's mostly like kids will mix it a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do both at the same, like, they get crossfaded or
yeah.
Like whatever that reference is.
Crossfading is it. Do you see any other drugs around like Xanax or anything like that?
Cough
syrup?
Haven't seen anything like that. Like in Willits, like a big thing is like whippets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of kids are doing, which I was surprised because living here, like when I heard about whippets, I was like, who would do that? Why would anybody do that? It's kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just seemed like something that was so, like, alien. Like, I've never even heard of people doing that. Why would they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then going to, like, a Willits party and seeing these kids all, like 30 of them all in a room, like, doing whippets. And it's, like, it's pretty insane to see. Like, it's not, like, you definitely can't tell them, hey, that's not healthy. Like, they're not going to listen to you. So,
mm-hmm.
Like, they, with whippets, they just seem, I don't know, they laugh a bunch, but they seem like they just, like, they don't look there at all. Like I personally have never done one, but, like, watching it,
it's
like,
it's laughing gas. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I've seen, I don't know, I've seen kids that just take it and then just fall straight to the floor and are just laughing the whole time. And it seems like, because I was watching, like, it seems like watching somebody who's done it their first time, like, when they first did it, they, like, the next, they immediately were like, oh, let me get one more. Like, let me try it again. Yeah, it was, like, immediate addiction. And it was pretty insane to see because, like, okay, in my own opinion, like with marijuana, like, I don't think it's an addictive thing unless, like, the person has a really addictive personality. And, like, I get that, like, it could be addictive, like, over long term or something, like over long term, but like it's insane to watch these other drugs though, like whippets. Like I don't know if you'd call that a drug, but still, like
I call it a drug.
Yeah,
sure.
Like whippets, like to see and in, like instantaneous, like you were just immediately addicted, like watching these kids. And it's like it sounds weird to say because like a lot of them would be like, oh, I'm not sure, like I don't think it's really like that, but like, you can see, like, immediately that they're addicted, and it's pretty crazy for me to see.
Hmm.
Like, and a lot of people think, like, oh, growing up in a community like this, you must have, like, a lot of drugs all the time and stuff. But really, like, what it is, it's, like, it seems like kids who are in high school are the ones who are drinking a bunch, and the kids who are, like, in middle school, like, I've seen a lot of kids in middle school are just smoking because, like, that's what they do, like, they don't drink yet. But, like, it seems like the high schoolers are the ones that are like, oh, marijuana's around all the time, like, it's not a big, like, no one really thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they drink a lot, but, like, around here, it doesn't seem like there's really any drugs, like, a lot of, like, or at least in the high school, like, I haven't seen any drugs, really, besides marijuana and alcohol is mm-hmm. the only things I've seen.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm really glad that's not true anymore in closer into the Bay Area in San Francisco and in the East Bay, there's a lot of other drugs that are there. We're here, you're saying mostly, you know, it's just weed and alcohol. You know, I heard a kid, this is at Tam High, a year or two ago, say, oh, I'll tell you how it works here at Tam High. Kids smoke weed during the week and we drink on the weekends. That's how it works. Because you can't drink, go to school, you know, all that kind of stuff. That takes too much out of you. So that's when your party is on the weekends. During the week is when we smoke weed. And, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, like, I understand what they mean. Like, because, like, with marijuana, like, you're able to actually do stuff. Like, you can keep control of yourself, but I mean, like, it depends, like, how much you have, but, like most people would be able to, like, people who have been doing it for a while will be able to do their normal day. They can go throughout it, like...
They could function.
Yeah, and all they are is feeling, like, this feeling. Like, they know it's there and it's a good feeling for them. Like, it just keeps them happy, but... Like, with alcohol, I understand, like I've watched people, like, it's one of the reasons why I would never drink alcohol is, like, watching these people, like, you can see somebody who's been smoking the whole party, like, a bunch crazy, and they're just sitting there talking with their friends, and then there's somebody who drank a little tiny bit too much, and they're, like, falling over, being dragged out.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, like, you don't want to teach kids that, like, oh, like, if you're going to do it, rather, like, I'd rather you do marijuana, but, like... Like, it's something that's, like, you really should, like, let them know that, like, they, like, it's not gonna, like, it doesn't have these effects on you, but it really does, like, hurt your brain, like...
Yeah.
Or not hurt your brain, but, like, it does affect you, like... I remember a point you made where you said, like... It was, like, the resin, like, you used, like, an example, like, resin, like, covering it, and, like, it doesn't completely go away, it stays in there, and, like... It doesn't function because it has this stuff slowing it down, like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was, like, a thing that, like, I totally understand what you mean by that. So it doesn't, like, completely... Well, I'm not sure if this is the truth, but this is what I got from it. Like, it doesn't completely kill brain cells, but, like, it makes them function slower than they usually should.
I think you got it. That's right. That's right. Where alcohol can kill brain cells.
Yeah.
Alcohol is a lot more toxic. And I agree with you. I think that particularly in the short term, alcohol is a way more dangerous drug than weed. You know, with alcohol, I really worry about people's safety. I worry about overdose. I worry about date rape. I worry about, you know, a lot of their behaviors and accidents that I don't see as much with weed.
Yeah.
My issue with weed is that you're not developing a life. That it's your this short circuiting, you're going to pay a price for at this point that you don't later on. But I don't see it as being threatening the way alcohol can, you know, or as debilitating as alcohol.
Yeah, that's why it's difficult to teach that marijuana is dangerous at all.
That's right. That's right. It's much more difficult.
Yeah, because they don't see it. Like, it's not immediately happening to them.
That's
so
right.
They're not, thinking about it.
Yeah, it's much more nuanced, and that's why really we need to have room to explore it more in that way. Yeah, I agree. But it doesn't change my concerns about it, particularly for these kids, and particularly hearing you say that you're seeing middle schoolers that are really smoking at this point. It's a powerful drug coming into a very tender brain, doing a lot of stuff. I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to mess anybody up or not. Who knows? It depends on the person's brain. But it's really, particularly for a middle schooler or high schooler to take in this level of THC, you're playing with some heavy-duty stuff in the brain that at this point, that brain needs to hear. Okay, here's this terrible, but you're going to get my opinion.
Okay.
That brain needs to be left alone to do its thing. Once you get to be 17, 17 and a half, and it's done its thing, you got a foundation. That's it's like building a house. You know, you got to start with a concrete base. And at 12 years old to 17, 18, that's your base. To have that weed in there, in that baseline there, has way more effect on the brain than later on. You know, it worries me. What, you know, how are we, what are the 17-year-olds telling the 12-year-olds? You know, why aren't the 17-year-olds telling the 12-year-olds not now? You know, it's...
I've never seen it.
Never seen it. They might do it with alcohol. They might do it with some other things. But it's interesting, you know, that weed isn't isn't considered, you know, a particular threat. And in many ways, I think that's true. The thing is, and this is what I've been telling the adults and everything else, is it does pose a bigger threat for teenagers. Even though it's better than alcohol and better than all the other drugs, up until 17, man, you're really playing with some deep chemistry and development. The brain knows how to develop.
Yeah.
It needs to be left alone so that you're able to come into yourself. It's so hard to say, you know, what's your biggest problem with marijuana? I think it steals contact with an inner part of you that has its desires, that fires off its dopamine, you know what I mean? All of that stuff is very basic as human beings. And weed really, especially this weed, really plays with it, you know? And so, you know, to play with it 12 to 17, different ball game. Different ball game. It's just that developmental stuff, you know, it's not going to kill you. Nobody's going to die of an overdose. But God, you get to be 18, 19. Who are you? What moves you? And for a lot of people, it's weed. And that worries me.
Yeah.
I want you to find something inside. The weed's always going to be there. And I think that the weed could really, you know, be an important part of this community. Just like grapes and wine can be an important part of the Sonoma or the Napa community, you know.
Yeah, that's why I think, like, that's the biggest thing about legalization that, the other day my dad actually asked me, like, what do you think? Like, do you think that marijuana should be legalized? Or do you think it would be the best thing if marijuana was legalized? And I told him that, would it be the best thing? And I said, it depends who you are. Like, for us, it might not be the best thing. It might completely ruin our community. Like, it might become not worth anything. Or it might not. It might just become, like, another thing you can buy, which will ruin this community. But at the same time, I believe it's the right thing the right thing to do. Because the reason it's illegal isn't even a reason, like, having to do with health or anything. It just has to do with companies not making enough money and it being too cheap to make stuff with.
I agree with you. I think it is political.
I just think that it should, like, I think it's the right thing, but, like, in a lot of circumstances, for a lot of people, it might not be the best thing to happen. But I think it's the right thing, like, to have it put up with tobacco and alcohol. Like, it'll be, like, people can study it, like Dan was saying, like, people can actually really get into it and understand what actually, like, is going on, because mostly it's done by, like, government and people, because, like, it's illegal otherwise. And so we're only getting the information they're telling us, so we're not sure exactly what happens.
And even the government isn't doing research on it because of the Schedule I stuff.
Yeah.
So you're a pretty wise young man here around this stuff. Although, you want to know something else? I think that a lot of the teenagers up here have a lot of wisdom, more so than in the Bay Area, just because you've been living with it. It's so much a part of your culture.
Yeah, because it's something that actually, like, we don't think of it as just like, oh, a drug, let's get high. Like, it's more of a drug, like, or no, we don't even think about it as a drug. Like, it's something that for most of us has been growing in our backyards. Like, something that buys us presents at Christmas and stuff. Like, it's something that's really, like, fueled our economy. And, like, we think of it like how you said, like grapes. Like, it's something that's there. And a lot of the kids choose to enjoy it or choose to, like, use it and stuff. And, like, there are kids who grow it, like, have grown it since they're children and still don't do it because that's not what it is to them. It's a crop for money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, I don't know, a lot of the kids around here have more of an opinion about it because it's something like that. It's something that actually helped them out rather than, like, it just being a drug for them to get high.
Right, right. Very complex. Isn't it? You know, it's especially, you know, it being tied up in the economy and in all this other stuff. So it's hard to kind of separate it all out.
Yeah, it's really tough. That's why, like, it's just such a huge issue because no one can really, like, because no one can say that, like, oh, nobody should do this drug, because there's people, like I was going to ask, like, kids with depression or kids with extremely bad anxiety, like, stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you think that marijuana can actually help them in any way, be beneficial?
In my opinion, no. Well, let me make it qualified. Could it help them for a few hours? Yeah. Could it take away your depression for a couple of hours? Yeah. But in the long run, at this point, it'll do more damage. And some of it is that it's contributing to the depression. But the other issue is that as a teenager, let's deal with this. Let's figure it out. Let's not take a short-term solution on the depression. And then I'm back again. So I go again. And then I'm back again. And so I go, no. This is a time to be doing some learning about what is my depression about. How do I deal with it? How do I deal with it without taking a drug to make it happen? To be able to discover if the drug isn't there, holy cow, if I exercise for 45 minutes, I feel better. It takes 45 minutes and it takes some work to do that, where firing up is very simple. But is that damaging the firing up? Yeah. Doing it this way is then it's not just helping the system, but it's programming. And the system is learning, oh, here's how I can begin to deal with it. Here's how I can begin to work with it. Taking in the drug, don't have to do it.
Yeah.
It's just so that I consider it to be a short-term solution, but long-term damaging. More so than later on. More so than later on around this. And when you know, you talk about depression, some of it can be, how do I take care of my depression through, you know, exercise and that stuff. But some of it is maybe that depression is a real, is some real information for you. I'm not a happy guy right now. What will it take to make me more happy,
yeah,
to lift me up, to take me out of this depression? What do I need to do? That's the work. That's what I want to see teenagers and somebody who's developing do, to take that drug at this point and take that away, takes that work away and leave somebody stuck in that situation. I want them, and I know it's a drag. It's so much easier to just get high than to figure out what we're going to do when we're hanging out together. But boy, that learning is incredibly important. See, and for somebody like you, it's not an issue. You're not that attracted to it. You know, you have your things. But for some people, boy, the drug really works and takes it all away. You see them, you know, it's very hard to turn that down. To actually do the real work to satisfy what the weed is satisfying for 3 hours, but that right there, Carlos, is the nug of it. I want people to do that work at this point. That's what teenage time is about.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I don't know. One of the things with like the legalization, like how it's starting, like how it's like legal in those two states,
yeah.
Like, for medical use.
Washington, Colorado. Yeah.
Like now that they're having stuff like that, they're making products that, like, you don't smoke at all, like, or you don't do any of that, like, and, like, I get that's really good for, like, older people, and I understand your points for, like, the youth, like, to keep them from doing it. But, like, that's another thing where I was, like, it's like a really big deal because they're actually like developing things where we don't have to cause as much damage to our bodies. And it makes it like for adults, like it's absolutely nothing then because you don't smoke it at all. So it's not affecting your lungs. And then like I was watching this, this movie that's called, Super High Me. And it's about this comedian, and his name's Doug Benson.
I heard, yes. This guy that just smoked weed.
Yeah, he smoked it for 60 days nonstop to see if it would have any effect on his body. Which, I don't know what, like, I don't think it wasn't a real test. Like, because what happened was he quit for 60 days and then did 60 days, but and that 60 days wouldn't have cleaned out his system completely, so he wouldn't have, like, I don't think it's a real, like, it's not a good test, but, like.
Yeah, wasn't bad, though. You stay clean for 60 days, that'll clean most of it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, but, I don't know, like, he went to a shop and the guy was talking to him about, like, you get to see real people who actually do need it, like, not kids who are just doing it. It's like people, like, patients, and, like, there's this guy talking, saying, like, oh, he was saying, like, if a doctor is willing to give you this paper, then, like, he can't put his, he's like, if he's putting, like, his job on the line to give you that paper, then I can't look at you and say that you don't need it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was like this guy in a wheelchair who couldn't even move, really, unless he used it. And it was, like, it's just pretty incredible to see stuff like that. And, like, I feel like a lot of kids should see people like that and understand, like, I don't really need it. Like there's kids, like, or there's guys who can't, like, move, who can't even function because they're in so much pain. And, like, I think that would be really beneficial to show our students nowadays. Like, show them, like, hey, there really are people out there who, if they don't do it, they can't even live, like, their day. Like, it's awful for them.
That's right. And then they're having this one that I saw recently for a little baby who has, what do they call them? Different kinds of seizures.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. And the weed helps their seizures, you know. And I think there's a lot of room to say a lot of, you know. And I think that's maybe part of what teenagers need to hear, is that there's a lot of positive things to be said about weed. Nobody's demonizing it and making it whatever. However, are there concerns as well? Yes. You know what I mean? Both things can be at the same time. And sometimes that's hard for a young person to hold, or even an older person to hold.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? On one hand, it could be good, and on the other hand, it's not good? I don't understand.
Yeah,
right.
Like, without telling them why it could be good, like, I don't feel like they'll ever get the point that why it would be bad or how it could be bad.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's a big deal, just teaching, like, all the benefits of it. And then teaching them, like, hey, like, it's worth waiting for. Like, just, like, it's something that, like, just make them understand that it's not healthy for you. Like, if you get, once you get older, you're not going to want to do anything but that. And they just need to, like, I don't know, like, I feel like for kids around here, it's hard for them to find hobbies because there's nothing to do, really, in the town. And so, like, it's different for people in the cities, and they're just, like...
I have to tell you, though, Carlos, I was doing a group in New York, and the kid was telling me, he says, I'll tell you where I smoke weed. There's nothing going on in New York. You know what I mean? So in some ways, this thing, I'm smoking weed because there's nothing happening here, that's part of the whole idea, is you're left with nothing happening, so get a life. You know what I mean? That is hard.
Yeah.
What am I going to do in Laytonville here?
In a town where there really isn't. Like, there's, like, or you can do stuff, but, like, by the time there's stuff going on, there's, like, you either smoke and you have no motivation to go to that, or you don't, and, like, there's only a few people who usually do. Like, I think it's a lot tougher in a town like this to really teach kids not to try it, because with, like, so much boredom, like, it eventually does happen, and you just have to teach kids that there's people, you have to teach them that when you do it, like, you don't immediately become addicted. Like, there's some people who will do it and then never do it again because, like, it's just not for them. Like, it's kind of it's just like alcohol or tobacco is what I'm, like, what it all pulls together is that, like you either like it or you don't, like, when it comes down to it, down to trying it.
And so do you believe that it's addictive? Let me tell you what addiction is, in my opinion. What addiction is when part of your brain, the thinking part of your brain, says, no, this is not good. I shouldn't do this now. This is not good. The deeper part of your brain that doesn't talk English, I don't care.
Yeah.
Give me it. And so that conflict where, no, I shouldn't do it, and I want it, and the I want it wins. That, to me, is addiction. In other words, if in your head it's not a problem, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when you see it, oh, no, this is not okay here. This is, I'm getting high before school. I'm not doing X. I'm not doing, you know.
Yeah.
And yet you still do it. That's where addiction comes in.
That's a big point that I was trying to get across when we did that panel thing, was that, like that there are people that when they do it, like, it doesn't matter to them. Like, there's no reason for them to quit, so why would they quit? Like, I don't think that's not addiction. Like, that's what I said, was I don't think that's addiction because they don't feel like they have, like, they don't want to quit, so what's the difference?
However, However, the way you find out is all of a sudden in life, you come up on a situation that says, no, I can't smoke now.
Yeah.
That's when you see, am I addicted or not? How strong? Because I see a lot of kids that are walking around smoking and going, I ain't addicted. I just smoke every day. You know, stop and see. And I'll tell you something. Part of the thing with weed is weed's fat soluble. So it stays in fatty tissue.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go out right away. So you don't go through withdrawal right away. You don't go through hangovers. Because it's still there. With the alcohol, it left. And so now your body's going through withdrawals and hangovers. Not so with weed, because it never left. So therefore, it's more extended. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you take away the weed for a number of days, then you begin to see, you know, well, what? And what's withdrawal from weed? Here's my opinion. Some of it is you get irritable. Another one is you're kind of thinking in your head, I'd like to get high. That's withdrawal system. Another one is you can have trouble sleeping, dreaming a lot. There's a number of those, but what it is basically is feeling like I want to get high. That's addiction.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure if I would call it addictive, just because, I don't know, it's really tough to talk about that kind of thing, like with addiction, because there are different types of people. Like, that's why it's so hard to talk about anything, because everybody has a different opinion. Everybody has a different type of, like, thing going on with them.
And everybody has a different brain.
Yeah.
So that really, the experience is different. And I think that's one of the things about drug education that's really important, is the drug isn't the same for everybody. People experience it in different ways.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it is more of a personal thing, you know. But I'm looking at it for you, for instance. You found other things to do. You're making it happen for yourself here. I think part of the reason also is that you weren't that attracted to marijuana. It makes it more difficult for somebody that is attracted to marijuana to say no for now, because I have this work to do. You know, it is, it's, especially in this community where so many people are doing it. And there's so much yes that's there.
Yeah.
But it ain't all simple. And you're watching it. And you're right. And I think it's a lot, the effects are a lot subtler than watching the alcohol or the whippets. You know what I mean? They do that, you know. But with the weed, this is something that goes much deeper than that, in terms of motivation, in terms of learning, in terms of pleasures, in terms of interests. You know, if they take this dopamine thing that weed fires off, in a rat's brain, it's called the nucleus accumbens. They take that dopamine thing out of a rat's brain so they don't fire off dopamine, and they put a rat in a cage, and they give it water, and they give it food. It dies of starvation, because there's no reason why it would go and drink the water or eat the food, because there's no reward. So why should I bother to do it? So this pleasure center, this motivation thing is very deep and very, you know, it's real important for people at teenage time to find their passions, to find their interests. And where do you want to, you know, mechanics people, where do you want to go? What moves you? What's important to you? This to me is being a high school teacher for all this time. That to me is what I want from kids, is to find out what, you know, where is my juice? Where is my interest? And the damn marijuana short circuits that, takes care of the whole works, and they don't do that.
Yeah, a lot
that's,
of kids.
That's, you know.
Yeah, a lot of kids that I see that are like really, really into it, really attracted to it, do it all the time. Like, even their plans for the future, like, almost everyone that I've heard, like, I'm going to grow up and grow pot and find a place to grow a huge field. Like, they're just looking like those kids, that's all they think about. And, like, that's why, like, I completely get what you're saying with all that. And, like...
And that's what the weed does, is fire off that. This is important. This is very important. Yeah. And looking at it from the outside, it's sad. You know what I'm saying? It's a narrow, to me, it looks like a narrower life. From the inside, I'm sure you don't see that.
Yeah.
You might see it 20 years later, but not at the time.
We got to end. There's going to be a lot more noise.
Okay.
You guys did great.
Carlos, man, you kick butt
here. Thank you.
You're good.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. I'm Carlos from Laytonville High School, and you have been listening to my interview with Ralph Cantor in May of 2015. Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out, our environmental prevention strategies in the community. Also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in our Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162. Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is July 5th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in July.